Yeah, last week I didn't give a shit. 2 weeks ago we learned the Mishnah on Daf Nun Ches on the base. The Mishnah says that when you measure the Tumen, so the Mishnah sounds like it says, I feel the Evid, I feel the Shivchen, and one of Loima Adkan Tum Shab. Sounds like a Erechud Nemun to be sure. Sounds like an Erechud is Nemun to say how far the Tum goes. He'll say, I measured it. Or he'll say, I know, the rabbi said, you can go till here. Which is some, that's the Mishnah on Nun Ches on the base. Eridan, Nun Ches on the base, so three lines from the bottom, Mishnah says, Afilo Evid, Afilo Shivcha Ne'monim. So the simple pshat is that Eid Echod is believed. The Taisus on Nun Tesamer Aleph, Diba Maschal Afilo Evid, Afilo Shivcha, Taisus quotes a Gemara from Ksubis. The Mishnah says in Ksubis that a Katan is not believed to Eid Echod Demen Bisurim calls man that he's a cotton before bar mitzvah. What about a cotton shehigdil? The kid is now bar mitzvah and he tells me about something that he saw, something that he became aware of before his bar mitzvah. And the Mishnah says a cotton shehigdil with respect to all dinim deraisa is not nemon, but with respect to dinim derabanan, the cotton shehigdil is nemon. So the Mishnah gives an example, tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos is only derabanan. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that tchum Alpai Mama is a din deraisa. So the Gemara said, we don't accept Rabbi Kiva's opinion. So the Rambam and the Rif followed the Yerushalmi that Tchum and Yud Beis Nil, that's a din deraisa, and the Ramad Mechaber Paskins like that. Rabbi Yosef Kar Paskins like the Rambam and the Rif, and the Ramad Paskins like Taisus. The Bavli never says a word about Yud Beis Nil, so the whole institution of Tchum Shabbos is only the Rabban and even Yud Beis Nil. Everything is the Rabban. So the Mele, the Mishnah says that a Kotten Shehigdil is believed to say, I remember as a child, we used to go till a certain point. The Tchum is up until here. With respect to Dinam Deraisa, he's not believed. With respect to Dinam, I remember I visited a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. They took me to visit Rabbi Machpud. He's a Sephardi, I think he's from Teman. So he was showing us all of the grasshoppers that are kosher. He was telling me this, a kosher grasshopper, this is a trefa grasshopper. How does he know? He says, he remembers as a child. He remembers as a child in Teman. They used to, when he was 9 years old, they used to eat these grasshoppers. But he came from Teman before his bar mitzvah. So I said to him, but the din is that a kotel shehigdil is not neman a dinim deraisa. So he says, okay, you're right, doctor. So he says, we'll ask my next door neighbor. My next door neighbor is also from Teman. And he just came, an older person in his 50s. And he just came 6 months ago. So we'll ask him. So he shows him the grasshoppers and he says, did you eat these grasshoppers? He says, oh no. So he got all scared. So he says, no, I don't like grasshoppers. Everybody else ate the grasshoppers. I didn't like grasshoppers. I didn't eat.
Why do you need ages for? You measure. I mean, it's a question of measurement. It has nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. It's a measurement.
Oh, the Tchum Shabbos. Okay. If you have time, to go. Okay. If you have
in a rush, and you have to know where the Tchum is.
Right. If you have time to measure, so you measure. Okay. If you don't have time to measure. Okay.
If you don't know where the end of the sea.
Yeah. You got to make calculations. Yeah. So if you have time, you make all these calculations with all the diagrams, and you figure out where the Tchum Shabbos is. So the Mishnah says there in Ksubis, a cotton shehigdil is only believed to give nemanis on a din derabbanan. On a din deraisa, he's not believed, and the cotton shehigdil is only neman on din derabbanan, but tziruf another eid echad. If he comes with someone else who is bar mitzvah, who's telling us what he knows after he became bar mitzvah. So the example given by the Mishnah is Tchum Shabbos. So you see that a cotton shehigdil is not believed on his own. You need the cotton shehigdil plus a gadol. So you see that you need two Aiden. You see, you need two Aiden to say where the Tchum Shabbos is. From the simple reading of our Mishnah, it says, Afilu Ebed, Afilu Shivcha Nemanim, sounds like Eid Echod is believed. So Taisus works on this Kasha. So they have two opinions. They're not sure what the din is. So one suggestion they give, Anachanami, you need two Aiden. The other suggestion is, no, we read the Mishnah in Ksubis wrong. Some of the Mishnah has their Adin, Kiyam Ashtar. If I have a shtar that says that you owe me $1,000 and you say that it's mezuyah if you never borrowed the money, so min ha-Torah, I win. You have to pay me the money. And with the Rabbanon, they said, maybe it's takin mezuyah. So with the Rabbanon, they said, you have to make kiyam ha-shtar. So kima shtar is only needed by the rabban. So the Mishnah says you have to have two eidim testify on the signatures to authenticate, to testify these are authentic signatures. So one of them could be a katan shehigdil. A child will say, I remember when I was in cheder, the Rebbe obviously used to give us notes to take home, and I remember that's the Rebbe's signature. I remember before bar mitzvah, that was one Rebbe's signature, this is the other Rebbe's signature, and these two signatures appear on the shtar. So he's telling us now, after bar mitzvah, about two signatures that he hasn't seen since before his bar mitzvah. So the katan shehigdil is believed to serve as an eid echod on the kima shtar, plus another eid echod. The other eid echod has to be a gadol. Shouldn't have two ketanim shehigdilu. So Tosfos says that's the example given by the Mishnah where you have to have a katan shehigdil plus a gadol. But on tchumen, a katan shehigdil is good all by himself. You don't need two eidim. Eid echod is good. That's one suggestion. And the other day in Tosfos says no, that you really need shnei eidim. And our Mishnah, afilu eved, afilu shivcha, is one of the two eidim. So it's 2 days in Tosfos where they need two eidim to testify on the Tchum Shabbos. So we mentioned last time, 2 weeks ago, when we were learning, why in the world should you need two eidim? The pasuk in Chumash requires shnei eidim sheirim by mominus. There's a pasuk that says, al pi shnei eidim, al pi shlosh eidim, yakum dover. Yakum dover goes on mominus. Then there's another pasuk in the same parish, al pi shnei eidim, al pi shlosh eidim, yumus ameis. The din in the fashis needs two eidim. Then the Gemara says, there's a gzereshova, dover, dover, mi momin. It says, a man divorces his wife, ki motzuba ervas dover. He discovers that his wife is a soita, asur al baila. What do you mean a soita? She was mezana. How did he discover? So it says, ki motzuba ervas dover, he learned dover, dover, mi momin. Just like there, api shnei eidim, yakum dover, means shnei eidim. So dover should be ervas, need shnei eidim. So these are the three areas in halacha where we require two eidim share. Momin is in the fashis, and dover should be ervas, need shnei eidim share. And in Isurim, he say, Rechadam and Bisurim. So why in the world should anybody in his right mind want to say that to testify about Tchum Shabbos he should need Shnei Eidim? Why are there 2 days in Tosfos? Should be regular, plain all day Rechadam and Bisurim. So I said there's an answer. So I mentioned 2 weeks ago, but I said I couldn't go through the answer. There wasn't enough time left. So you need a few minutes to explain it. So there is a Gemara in the end of Yevamos, on Daf Pei Zayin. The Gemara has a suffix. What's the din? Eid echod keneged hachazaka. What says eid echod keneged hachazaka? So let's say a man dies and he has a container full of peiros, full of grain or bebalach or fruits or vegetables, whatever. And it says on the container, this is truma. And it says on the next container, this is maaser rishon. It says on the next container, this is maaser sheni. And we know whenever he's mafish, he lives in Eretz Yisrael, whenever he's mafish truma, maaser sheni, he puts it in these containers. So the man dies, so the children have to give away the truma to a kohen, have to give away the maaser rishon to the levi, and then the maaser sheni they have to bring to Yerushalayim. So the next day neighbor comes in the middle of the shiva and he says, I know for a fact your father was paid the maaser sheni. I was watching when your father was paid the maaser sheni. So the Gemara is not sure whether Eid Echad Nemi Misurim applies in such a case because it's Keneged HaHazaka. It's in this container, so we know that this is it is at one time was Maaser Sheni. So the Eid Echad is saying that it changed. So if, let's say, an Eid Echad testifies Keneged HaHazaka, but it's Biyodo, let's say there's a live animal. So a live animal is not Geshochten, so it's an Iser Ein Ezvucha. So you're not allowed to eat flesh from an animal that wasn't Geshochten properly. So the Gemara says, whenever you're not sure whether a proper shechita was done on the flay, so you shkel after chazoke. Behema b'chaya, b'cheskes iser emenes, ha'shivar alach b'men nishchata. Behema is b'cheskes iser. So the butcher tells, the shechita tells me, I did the shechita on the animal, it's a kosher shechita. So the Mishnah says he's baglot. The first Mishnah in Chulon says, Eidechon is believed to say that he shech. I did keneged a chazoke. So the answer is no, that's b'yodai. The Gemara says, he can shech it. And even if, let's say, my wife tells me that she bought this chicken from the store, and the storekeeper told her that the delivery man told him, and the delivery man was told by the sheikhet, it's eight, and they tell me that it's a kosher chicken, is geshochen proper. My wife doesn't know how to shech the chicken. So Tosfos says that's also called biyodai. If she would have wanted to, she could have learned tilcha shechita, she could have learned how to shech the behema, the technical aspects. And it's also called biyodai. It's also called biyodai.
The animal's dead. It's very geshochten.
Right?
It's biyodai. I mean, it's
exactly. So that's what Tosfos points out. Even though it's no longer biyodai, but since it used to be biyodai.
When?
before it became, before it was dead, while it was, no, while it was alive, while the chicken was alive, while the behemoth was alive.
Even then, she had to learn.
Yeah,
because it takes a long time to learn.
Okay, so Tyson says that theoretically, theoretical biyoda, even though it takes a long time to learn, a long time to learn the technique, that's also called biyoda. So Tyson says the whole yisoid that my wife tells me this food is that the flesh is kosher. How does she know? It's eid mit piyed, mit piyed, mit piyed. And how is the, how is anybody believed over here? Because all the way down the line, it's all biyada. It's all eirechad kineger achazake. But since it's biyada, it's eirechad kineger achazake is baglai. So the Gemara says, if you have, let's say, a woman says she went to the mikveh. So I know for the last couple of days she was a nida, she was asur lebayla. Now she tells me she was tovel in the mikveh. So that's eirechad kineger achazake. She's becheskas nida, but biyada, she could go to the mikveh. So since she tells me that she did go to the mikveh. Say Eirechad, can I get a hazaka as belief whenever it's biyada? But if it's Eirechad,
you need to come to that because there it says the Sofra law.
The Sofra law is about counting Shiva Nikim, so he points out. Counting Shiva Nikim, that's not Kenegan Hazaka. But it doesn't say Achumis that she's believed to say that she was Tovel in the mikveh. But we know she doesn't need two Aiden to say that she was Tovel in the mikveh. So the answer is, she's believed even though it's Eirechad, can I get a hazaka because it's biyada. The Nida says she was Tovel. The Nida says she made Bidika Shiva Nikim. That's not Kenegar HaZaka. Just because she was a Nida yesterday doesn't mean that she's going to have a real Dam today. But when she says she was Tovel in the Mikveh, that is Kenegar HaZaka. She says she's Tahira. We know that she was Tameya for the last couple of days. Now she says Tahira.
So she's the one that told that I was a Nida. Now she tells you I went to the Mikveh. So she's the one
I
made a
sin for. That's a different case. Tashas is a different case, not this case. Yeah.
Well, the case again, I didn't hear the matzpana. When the fella has those three tubs, and the witness says that I know for a fact.
I know for a fact that I was watching when your father was paid at the Meisen Shein.
Do you believe?
So the Gemara is not sure, and when Paskin is not believed. In Shulchan Aruch Yehuda, we pass that Eirechad is not believed. Can I get a hazaka?
Doesn't this difficult thing tumah come into play here? Can I just volunteer the information? It's not like anybody else.
That's not called nisiach l'fi tumah.
Sorry.
That's not called nisiach l'fi tumah.
No, you volunteer something.
No. Nisiach l'fi tumah means I don't even realize that it's relevant halacha l'maisa. A goy doesn't realize that a woman is not allowed to remarry if her husband is still alive. He never heard of this Jewish religion, these laws. By the goy, the husband is missing in the army. So we, after a year, we assume he's dead, and the wife remarries. But in the Jewish religion, the husband is missing; the wife cannot remarry. So if an eid echad comes and he says, "I know that I attended a funeral," and he tells me a whole story, he doesn't realize that what he's saying is relevant to be mata di aguna. That's called nisiach l'fi tumah. He's telling a different story. But here, the eid echad says that this ma'aseh sheni was nifde. He says, "I know your father was paid at the ma'aseh sheni." So he's telling the Ger to Yisra the Heter. That's not called Nisiach Lefi Tumah. That's not called Nisiach Lefi Tumah. So the Gemara is not sure in this case. And Eid Echad comes and he says that the father was paid at the Ma'ase Sheni. The father's not alive. The father died. If the father's here and he says, I was paid at the Ma'ase Sheni, it's Biyodai. The neighbor cannot be paid at someone else's Ma'ase Sheni. You can't be paid at someone else's Ma'ase Sheni without their authorization. So it's not Biyodai of the next neighbor. Next neighbor comes and he says, I was watching when your father was paid at the Ma'ase Sheni. And he gave the money to someone who was going to Yerushalayim to buy food. And this Ma'aseh Sheni just didn't have a chance to empty it out from the container. This is not Ma'aseh Sheni. So that's Eid Echad Keneged HaZakeh. And it's not Biyodo. So the Halacha is not believed. The Ramon Yerodeh, the Mechaber has a different shot than the Gemara. And the Ramon Paskins like Tosis in the Rosh. Eid Echad Keneged HaZakeh is not believed. Yeah. You have to be paid again. Yeah, Bizman Hazeh, Ma'aseh Sheni doesn't stand to gain anything. If normally you have to be paid the Bishavya. Let's say you have $1,000 worth of Ma'aseh Sheni. The farmers in Eretz Yisrael, they have tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars of Ma'aseh Sheni when it's a Ma'aseh Sheni year. So Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayam, the Ma'aseh Sheni is eaten in Yerushalayim. It's not eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, but the Gemara still learns that from a pasuk. You cannot eat Ma'aseh Sheni unless you have a Mizbeach Banui. You have to have a mizbeach because the pasuk says the chumash in Parshas Re'eh, "Vechalto shama fnei Hashem alakecha ma'ase digan chavisirot shavisarecha v'chores bekocha v'tzanecha v'chal nederecha shatido," something like that. So the Gemara says you can only eat ma'ase sheni v'chalto sham ma'ase digan chavisirot shavisarecha, and Yerushalayim can eat it if you can eat ma'ase behemah, if you can eat korbanos. So So you have to have a mizbeach banui to be makriv karbanos. So you cannot eat ma'aseh sheni in Yerushalayim, even though ma'aseh sheni doesn't have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. It's not bikurim that you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. So Bizmana said we can't eat. We cannot eat ma'aseh sheni. So you're not going to gain anything by being paid $100,000 worth of ma'aseh sheni. It's going to be makrish $100,000, and plus you have to be ma'aseh chaimish another 25%. So you have to give $125,000. Then what are you going to do with it? Burn the money. Throw all this money into the Yam HaMelech. Ashad the geld. So since the Ma'aseh Sheni is not gaining by me giving so much, such a $125,000 and then destroy all the money, so Taisa says, based on Yerushalmi, that Bizman HaZeh will pay to all the Ma'aseh Sheni on a pruta. We give a nickel, and we give 4 cents for the Karen, and you give an extra penny for the Chomesh, and Shain, that's it, the nickel is the Karen, the Chomesh, and we put it. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to cheat the Ma'aseh Sheni. Now, the Gemara says, let's say someone is Magdish, a mansion that's worth millions of dollars, worth $50 million. So the Gizbar takes over the mansion, he auctions it off to the highest bidder, and whoever gives the money, so he takes the money and he's paid. What about this man? Is that what are you going to do? So the Gemara says it doesn't make sense. You're not allowed to be magdish anything today. A magdishim is man shein beis hamikdash kaim. A magdishim, you're just looking for trouble. You're going to be magdish something. Someone's going to be moel behegdish. This man hamikdash, the gizbo will auction it off and he'll take the money and he'll use the money for the beis hamikdash purposes. This man is there. The Gemara says you're not allowed to be magdish. What if some chacham went ahead and he was magdish a mansion? What are you going to do? Be paid at the mansion for $50 million and then be Maisiv Chaimesh because you were the one who was Magdash it? And then what are you going to do with the $50 million? You're going to burn it. You're going to destroy it. So the Gemara said, Bizman HaZeh, since there's no Hepsid for the Hagdash anyway, so you set aside $10 and you paid it and then you destroy the money. So he said that case, let's say I have the container full of the Maisiv Sheni. So the next door neighbor comes in the middle of Shiva, he says, I want you to know, he tells the children, the Ma'aseh Sheni was lived there, the father was paid. So we pass in the next door neighbors, not believe, because they say, Echad, can they get a hazaka? So you say, can they be paid? Yeah, they can be paid, but I have to give the full amount. If it's Bizman HaZeh, everybody's paid on a nickel. Everyone's paid the Hu B'chum, Shemuchul, Alala nickel. The 4 cents is the Karen, and the extra penny is a nickel. But Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, and they can eat the Ma'aseh Sheni, then you're not allowed to cheat Ma'aseh Sheni. The din is Eino Noela Hegdashis, the Dievet, if you cheated Hegdash, the din of Einoa doesn't apply. Ma'aseh Sheni is Mama Gavaya, so it has that din also, Eino Noela Hegdashis. But L'chatzchili, you're not allowed to cheat Hegdash, L'chatzchili, you're not allowed to cheat the Ma'aseh Sheni.
Yeah, but Ma'aseh Sheni is not really Hegdash, it's a symbol of the Hegdash. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. It's yours, it's not Gavaya.
No, the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim in Kiddush, in the end of the second paragraph. One pan is of the Rabbi Yehuda is of the Pei Ma'aseh Sheni is Mom and Bailam, and we pass from like Rabbi Meir, Machlokes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. So usually Rabbi Meir loses. Whenever Rabbi Meir disagrees with someone, Rabbi Meir usually loses, and this is an exception to the rule. Rabbi Meir wins, so we pass from like Rabbi Meir over here. The Ma'aseh Sheni is Mom and Gavoya. So since we treat it like Mom and Gavoya, so the din of Hegdash Eino Noel Hegdashis applies here too. So that's the whole practice that we have as man as that we have. Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of Ma'aseh Sheni, and we'll put down a nickel, and we'll put down a dime.
They use a special
the Chaimish.
They use a special coin, that's because they want to get away with more. The din is, let's say you have a cup of soda, have a cup of tea, and the tea has sugar, and the sugar grew in Eretz Yisrael. So how much is the value of the, so let's say the sugar grew in Eretz Yisrael and it's not gemaisa, it's tevel. But let's say you have soda and it has flavoring, it has sugar, it has flavors, some of the flavors grew in Eretz Yisrael. So the bottle of soda costs $1. How much is the value of the, let's say it's a Ma'aseh Sheni year. So how much is the value of the Ma'aseh Sheni? Let's say, so before I start drinking it, I'll be mafresh a little bit as Truma Gedoyla. Let's say I don't, not a good hashgacha. You don't trust the hashgacha on the soda. So you pour out a little bit, that's going to be Truma Gedoyla. Then you give a little bit to the lady, 10%, that's going to be the Ma'aseh Mishin. Then you designate a little bit as Ma'aseh Sheni, then you're going to be paid. So how much is the whole Ma'aseh Sheni worth? So if the Ma'aseh Sheni is worth less than a Shavu'ah Pruta, so the Gemara says you can't be paid. Because you can't be paid a Ma'aseh Sheni on less than a Shavu'ah Pruta. And Ma'aseh Sheni is not a charitable organization that accepts donations. So you can't give in Hegdish The din applies in both directions. The hegdish is worth $1 million and you give a penny. So the din is hegdish shavu mana, shechil al shavu pruta mechulo. And the reverse also true, hegdish shavu pruta, shechil al shavu mana is mechulo in both directions. Why? Because hegdish is an institution that can accept donations. So if you pay the hegdish is only worth a nickel, and you give $100,000, so that's all a valid pidyon. But by Maisa Sheni, it only works in to the detriment of the Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni is worth $1 million, and I give a nickel, so then it's nifted. But if the Maisa Sheni is worth a nickel, I give $1 million, it's not all nitfas. It's only taifas, can I get the nickel? So let's say the whole Maisa Sheni is worth less than a penny. So the Mishnah says he can't be paying the Maisa Sheni at less than a penny. So what do you do a lot of times, Maisa Sheni? You have a bottle of soda, the guns of Maisa Sheni is worth less than a penny. So what do you do? You can't be paid in the Maisa Sheni. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara in Bavin Tzir quotes Chizki is din. That's the Chiddush of Chizki. That's what the Chazanish made this din popular. Somehow before the days of the Chazanish, it was a din on the books and no one ever paid attention. And the Chazanish made it lebedi. So the Gemara has a din. If you have a big coin and you use the coin to be paid in Maisa Sheni, that was worth a lot of money. But the Maisa Sheni is only Teifes kineged the amount. Let's say I have a Chazanish says I have a shilling, I have a lira, whatever, I have a shekel. So the shekel has so many prutas in it. Let's say, I don't know how many prutas, approximately a penny. So let's say how much is a shekel worth? 25 cents. So the shekel has 25 prutas. Lamazog, and a penny used to be I think more than a pruta, and now the penny is a little bit less than a pruta. So let's say it's worth 25 cents. Let's say it has 20 prutas in it. So you can be paid the, let's say have $100,000 worth of Maisa Sheni, and Bizman Azeh, you're not cheating the Maisa Sheni because he can't do anything with the Maisa Sheni anyway. So I'll take from the shekel, I'll be paid the all of the $100,000 worth of Maisa Sheni on one of the 20 prutas, the 20, 25 cents, I'll be paid the on one pruta's worth. Now I have some Maisa Sheni that's worth less than a Shavu pruta. So you can't give a whole pruta to be paid it. Maisa Sheni is not an organization that takes donations. So you can't be paid more than it's worth.
You're not paid off.
No. Maisa Sheni worth less than a Shavu pruta is Maisa Sheni, so you can't eat it chutz l'Yerushalayim. You can't eat the Maisa.
It's physically impossible to do it, or what? I mean, so minute.
But I know that it has Maisa Sheni in it. I have a whole soup, and all the ingredients in the soup, everything was gemaisa, except for one little flavoring, we forgot to be mafresh maisers. And the Maisa Sheni shabo is worth a half a penny. So how are you going to be paid it? You can't be paid. You can't give a whole penny because Maisa Sheni is not teifes more than its value. And you can't be paid a Maisa Sheni on less than a penny. So the Gemara has this chiddush din. Everybody thinks the Chazanish made up the din. It didn't make up the din. He just showed it to the Gemara. So the Gemara says if you have a big shekel, if you have a big coin, and you use part of that coin to be paid in Maisa Sheni, use the pruta's worth of the coin to be paid in Maisa Sheni, so now you can use that coin to be paid in Maisa Sheni that's less than a Shavu pruta. Because the coin has already more than a Shavu pruta's worth of Maisa Sheni in it. So that's what the Chazanish said. You got to set aside a special coin and keep on being paid there time after time after time again. And then the Chazanish had worked out a whole system. They have two coins. So then after you've used the first coin up, the first coin, let's say the first shekel has 25 cents, let's say it's approximately 20 prutas. So I used it 20 times to be paid there. So now I need another coin. So he says, take another shekel and say, I'm paid all the 25 prutas on one pruta in the other coin. And then you start all over again. So that the Chazanish has a lot of coolest. The Chazanish worked out the whole system in Eretz Yisrael that they have today was all the kulas worked out by the Chazanish. All the kulas, yeah.
But the chumash would apply only when you're using a different person. The owner.
Same person. If the farmer is paid his own Maisa Sheni, he's paid his own Maisa Sheni, then he has to be Maisa Chaimish. If I'm paid your Maisa Sheni, then I don't have to be Maisa Chaimish, right? If you're paid your own, then you have to be Maisa Chaimish. So again, so in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin. A dechud is not believed when it's keneged a hazokah, so, unless it's biyodo. So if I say I shechted the behemah, that's a dechud keneged a hazokah, but it's biyodo. If I say I was paid, if I say somebody was paid, I say the father was paid his maisheni. I cannot be paid his maisheni without his authorization. So that's not biyodi. So that's a dechud keneged a hazokah is not believed because it's not biyodi. So here, there's a big machlokes in Yerideya, what's the definition of Eid Echad keneged HaChazaka? If the Eid Echad says that this animal was geshochten, so Behema b'chaya b'chazkas Yisrael medis, so that's Eid Echad keneged HaChazaka, but the Eid Echad is believed because it's biyodai. Even though he doesn't know how to shecht, he doesn't know the dinim, doesn't know shecht, he could have learned all the dinim and not considered biyodai. Well, what if the Eid Echad says that every behemah has chelev, and every behemah has chutei dam? When you salt the flesh, it removes all the blood that's from the capillaries, but the blood that's in the arteries and the veins, that blood doesn't come out with salting. You have to yank out all of the veins and the arteries, and then use the salting to remove the little amount of blood that's in the capillaries. So let's say someone says, I treibed the flesh. After the shechet shechted the behemah, I removed the giranoshe, I removed the chelev, and I removed the chutei hadam. I removed the big arteries and the big veins. So it's biyodo, he has the ability to do it, and even if he doesn't know what anything is, he could have learned the whole chachmah. It's biyodo, so he's going to be believed. Is that believed because it's eid echad keneged hachazaka and it's biyodo? That's not called keneged hachazaka. Keneged hachazaka heis, the whole behemah is also because it's not geshochten. When you shecht it, so you change the whole status of the whole behemah. But here, you have a behemah. I say, I took out the chelev, I took out the dam, I took out the giranosh, and what remains behind was always kosher. And what I threw out was always treif. I'm not changing any status of anything. So that's a machlokes in Yerideya. That's a machlokes in Mefarshim in Yerideya. Is that considered Eid Echad keneged hachazaka or not? So some paskim it's only considered Eid Echad keneged hachazaka if the Eid Echad is contradicting a hazaka. He's saying that something changed. If he's not saying anything changed, that's not called keneged hachazaka. And other paskim hold now, that's also called Eid Echad keneged hachazaka. Why? Because the Eid Echad is saying that someone had a, we know that every behemah has giranoshe,
yes.
Every behemah has chelev, every behemah has dam. So he's saying that something, some human intervention took place over here. He's saying somebody did something. It wasn't a maisal pidin. The goyim usually trade with the flesh. You don't need a mashgiach. Mashgiach watches when the goyim rip apart the behemah and they rip out the giranoshe. They know better than the rabbis usually. They know what's the chelev, they know what's the giranoshe, they know what the chutei hadam are. So the goyim do it. It's not a halachic maisa, but it's still you need some human intervention. So that's what some poskim hold. That's called keneged eid echad keneged hachazaka. Whenever you say that a person, that someone had to do a maisa, it didn't happen by itself. Pidya maisa sheni for sure doesn't happen by itself. But pidya maisa sheni, that for sure is eid echad keneged hachazaka. Because when you play to the maisa sheni, it changed the whole status of the maisa sheni. But over here, you're not changing the status of the flesh all along. After the shechita, all the flesh is kosher. He's just saying the giranosha was removed, the chela was removed, and the chutei hadam were removed. So some paskim hold that that's called keneged hachazaka. So that's the shaila over here. Last week we learned the mishnah nun ches on the days. No, the other mishnah that you have to measure the mishnah on nun zayin on the days. The bottom line, the bottom mishnah.
I mean, we know that the animal is kosher, but what's the chazaka?
We know that every animal when it's geshachten has giranosha in it. It doesn't fly away by itself. It has chelev and it has chutei dam.
Right.
And someone has to be there to remove it. It's not going to walk away by itself. So the Eid Echad says, somebody removed, says, I removed, or someone else removed. He says, someone removed the chelev and the giranoshe and the chutei adam. That's called keneged hachazaka. He's saying that something changed over here. You know, it's not what's left behind didn't change. It wasn't like shechita is mata de behema. That's called, he said, a person did a maisa that didn't happen by itself. That's called keneged hachazaka. Whenever you made an acheftze, I say, this animal is a kosher animal. This fish is a kosher fish. You just made on a chefze. That's Eid Echad and Misumim. You made on a maise of a human activity. That's called keneged hachazaka. That's the Mishnah Yed. So the Shaila is here. How do you establish Tchum Shabbos? The Tchum is Alpay Mama, fine. You figure out how. So the Mishnah had a funny, didn't learn that from a pasuk. No. You got to measure a murder than Mela Bechevel Shel Hamisha Mama. You have to measure. How many times? 20 times. You have to measure 20 times with a rope. 40 times with a rope of 50 yamas long. And the Gemara seems to have learned that from a pasuk. The Gemara says by the mem ches ori halvim. Also like that. Whenever you have to measure a distance by the Mishkan, you had to measure with a chevel shel chamisha mam. So according to the simple reading of the Mishnah, the Tchum Shabbos doesn't happen by itself. It's not that Alpai Mama away is the end of the Tchum Shabbos. You have to have a Maisa B'nai Odom to measure it like this. If we don't want to waste our time, so we know it's approximately somewhere, it's between here and here, okay. But Alpidin, the Tchum is Nikva by a Maisa that people have to do. So that's, I think, why there's an opinion in Taisus that that's called Eidechot Keneged HaHazokah. That's true, but let's say a person is ignorant, he doesn't know. Most religious Jews don't know what's the Gidan Osher, what's the Chela, what's the Dam, they don't know. So you have to rely on the Eidechot. So the Shaila is the Eidechot is belief to say the Gidan Osher was removed. But that's a machlekes in Yeridei. Is he believed because Eidechonem Misurim or no? Because Biyodo. Because Eidechonem Misurim doesn't apply because it's Keneger HaHazakeh. So he has to be believed based on Biyodo.
Why can't I say he's believed? Because I could ask someone that knows and they can tell me. So he wouldn't lie to me. He wouldn't lie in something that's so obvious.
Let's say the meat is already chopped up. They already made chopped meat out of it. That's a lot of times what they do. They remove the Gidan Osher and then right away they chop up the meat. So now there's no way. And he tells me, if it's all chopped up already, he tells me that the Gidan Osher was, I have no way of telling.
So we have 10 different things that go wrong, and one single eight can deny everything. You say, Eidechot Neimu B'Surim. If you have one, even if you have here, have to measure out 50, 10 is okay.
Right.
But if you have a behemoth, it's a behemoth, 10 different things that go wrong. So you say, Eichot, one single person will deny and say, everything is okay.
Eidechot, by Shechita, the Eidechot is Neman. But by Shechita, it is Eidechot, Keneger HaChazak, but it's Neman because it's Biyodah. Neman because Biyodah. You should really have required two Eidim, but it's Neman because it's Biyodah, yeah. Here it's not Biyodah, he can't control, he can't make the Tchum longer, wider or narrower. Either it is the Tchum or it's not Biyodah to change the Tchum.
So
here it's not Biyodah, but the Shad, why is it Eidechot Keneged HaChazakeh? You just tell me where the Tchum is.
Yeah.
According to some Rishonim in Shulchan Aruch, according to some of the Poskim, Eidechot Keneged HaChazakeh is not believed unless it's Biyodah. It doesn't only apply when he has to do a Maisa HaMatir. Whenever you need some human activity, whenever the Eidechot is saying that a human action was done, so say Eidechot Keneged HaChazakeh, and you need Shnei Eidim. So that's 2 days in Tosis, whether to be Mevara Ad Kan Chum Shabbos, do you need two Eidim, or is it enough Eidechot Neimu B'Surim?
The action is done by one individual. You need two Eidim to testify what one person has done himself.
I don't know, the one can do the measuring,
yeah.
but he doesn't control the situation. To make the Tchum Shabbos, over by the Shechita, the Eidechot controls it. He had the ability to shech the behem. Or the Eidechot had the ability to remove the Gid Anosha. So he says, I removed it. Or he says, someone else removed it. So that's called Eidechot Keneged HaChazakeh, but it's Biyodah. But over here, it's not Biyodah. He can't make the Tchum. Either it is or it isn't. When he says that he measured it, every city has a Tchum. Even if no one measured it, every city is going to have a Tchum Shabbos. But just the precise measurement depends on this special din. Al-Pidin, the measurement is supposed to be done by a Maisa B'nai Odom. So that's called, according to half of the Rishonim, that's called Eidechot Keneged HaChazakeh. Eidechot Keneged HaChazakeh means whenever you need some human action, then Eidechot is not believed.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there is a Tchum. He's not Keneged, right. So these Rishonim hold Eidechot Keneged HaChazakeh doesn't mean he's contradicted by the Chazakeh. It's not he's contradicted by the Chazakeh. He just says the Gid Anosha was removed and the Chela was moved. He's not being contradicted there either. But he's saying that a human action was done.
The terminology is confusing. That's what
he gets. It is. So in Shulchan Aruch they have two definitions of what does it mean Keneged HaChazakeh. So some say he's changing the status quo. Until now the behemoth was b'cheskas iser and he's changing it. Over here he's not changing the status quo, he's just telling me where the Tchum is. And the other definition, Keneged HaChazakeh, means he's testifying on a human action. whenever you testify in some human activity, as opposed to a chepti, you say a person did a maisa, so that requires shnei edim.
Yeah,
and that's what some hold. That's all the same. Mamanis and the fashas and davish of the erva and echu kenei chazok is all the same thing. Mamanis is saying somebody crashed into me, into my car. Someone borrowed money. Someone paid money. Someone broke my window. He's saying on a human maisa, and the fashas also is saying the person did an averi and it's chayv misa, it's chayv malchus. So you say davish of the erva, the person got married, the person got divorced. He's saying on a human activity. So these Rishonim hold, they dechod keneged hachazakeh, it's all this one din. There aren't four different dinim. Mamanis and nefashis and davish of the erva and erechod keneged hachazakeh. It's all one atzad hashav shabem. Whenever you're made on a human action, that needs to aid him, as opposed to a chepze. You say, this is a kosher fish. You say, this is a kosher bird. This is a kosher grasshopper. You say, what's a kosher bird? What's a kosher grasshopper? You're just saying on a chepze, you're not saying on a maisa. So that erechod is belief.
Okay.
And the question was that one person is doing the measuring. So then why do we need Shnei Edim to testify? I mean, the second Ed knows it from the first one, the one who did it.
Somebody else.
But
an Ed.
But you have to have two Ed Edim to say. If the whole information comes in one.
But what does the second one know more? What does the second one help? One guy did it.
No, one person did it, but you have to have that person with another person watching. You'll have to have two people be mevara that one person did the measurement.
Also, he has to be present when he did the measurement.
Yeah. Then the halacha says, you don't need a haggadah to say this bifnei bezin over here. So then the halacha will say, eid mit pi eid is also good. Mm-hmm. But it has to start off with two eidim in the beginning. You have to have two eidim in the end who say, two eidim testify.
So one person cannot go and measure by himself.
All on his own, yeah. That's the shad. The Mishnah says, a mumche. Sounds like one mumche, but maybe the mumche and another person is watching the way he measures it. So those are the 2 days in Tesis. Is it good enough, Erechot? That's a big shiloh. Erechot, keneged hachazaka is not believed. To what light? It's the same as mamans and nefashas and davish and yervo. So you need two kosher eidim? Or no, you need two Erechot. So that's a machlokes diktsais and nesivis. Machlokes mishpah. Right, right. I'll be pashtus. It seems that you don't have to be kosher. That's right. That is correct.
I
mean, because you're mekel here, because only the rabbanon.
Otherwise, if you need to wait, what's the real
cool? Okay. Maybe the fact that we are makshir Eved, Eved and Shivcha is because it's the Rabbanah. If it would have really been Erechot Keneged HaHazaka, a real Din Daraisa, then according to the Nesivis, we would have required two kosher Edim.
But that's assuming that Tchum is Din Daraisa or not, that's Machlokes by itself.
Right, so we pass Tchum as the Rabbanah, so that's why the Eved and the Shivcha are good. If it would have been a Din Daraisa, we would not have believed them. Well, yeah, the Gemara says it's the Rabban. The Gemara says the whole kula is based on the assumption that it's only the Rabban.
Why the
Rabban says Yud Beis Mil is the Raisa. The Mishnah is talking about Alpai Mama, one mil. One mil, everybody, we Paskin is only the Rabban. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that the
Cotton with a
so that's what Taisis here shows, that there are two ways to read the Mishnah in Ksubas. Does it really say Katna Shehigdil plus another Gadol on them on him? Another Katna Shehigdil is bug life all on his own. He doesn't need a tziruf of another Gadol. The Mishnah says for the Kiyum Shtaris, for other cases in the Mishnah there in Ksubis, a Katna Shehigdil is counted as one of the two eight, and then you have to have a Gadol as the other eight. But for the Truman, Tosis has two opinions. Maybe the Katna Shehigdil is Neman on his own. Maybe Erechot is Neman by Truman.
The Mishnah doesn't say it.
Yes, that's the Shav. Doesn't mean that's the whole thing. Yeah. The Mishnah Ksuva says the Katan. But our Mishnah Gufa is unclear. The Ebed and the Shivcha, he's an Eid Echad, that's the whole Eidus. Or the Ebed and Shivcha is one of the two. You need two Eidim. One of them could be the Ebed and Shivcha, the other one has to be somebody else.
If one Eid goes out, that's the Tchum, he's not going to be believed. But he's allowed to measure on his own. So if he measures on his own, drives a couple of line of stakes across, comes out and says, I myself, I'm not telling you what a Tchum is, but I myself measured the Tchum and I planted those stakes, and that's exactly where they were.
According to that opinion, the Taisa is not believed. You would have to have another person watching.
He's not telling you what a Tchum is. He's telling you to plant mistakes.
But it's irrelevant. So the whole relevance is only for the Tchum, and Tchum needs two Edim, according to the one opinion in Taisa. Tchum needs two Edim.
difference over here is you get a miser. And I'm telling you that it's from a knot, maybe.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I don't think that's called biyada. Biyada means I had control over it. I don't think it has any control. See, by the shechita, he has control. If he doesn't shecht it, it's ainin zvuchim when he shechts it. That's biyada. But over here, I don't think this is called biyada. He doesn't have control to make this. Someone has to measure it. But it's not. But the power vested in him is the one that did the measuring. No. The tchum is going to happen by itself. Anyway, but whatever the Hezbollah is, the two opinions in the Tosis here. Two opinions in Tosis. Okay. That's what we left off on the Mishnah, Nun Tesam et Aleph. Nun Tesam et Aleph, very famous Mishnah. This Mishnah is very famous. There's a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch whether Yesh Lana Din Rishus Rabbim De'araisa Bizman HaZeh or not. Many, many Rishonim have such a statement. Tosis, Rashi and Tosis in the Rosh. And all the Chachmei Ashkenaz, they all go with the Shita that we don't have any Rishus Rabim. It's rare to have a Rishus Rabim Deraisa. Why? They make an assumption that all the laws of Shabbos are learned out from Malachas HaMishkan. That's how the Gemara says. How do you determine which are the Lamentas of its Malachas? So the Gemara says in the first daf in Bava Kamma, whatever activity was important in connection with Asiyas HaMishkan is considered an Av Malach. What does it have to do with Asiyas HaMishkan? Because the Pasuk says one next to the other, you should build a Mishkan but not be Mechal Shabbos. So we learn from the Pasuk that being a Beis HaMikdash is not Deicha Shabbos. What does it have to do with Shabbos? So he said that's how you know what the definition of a Melacha is. Whatever activity whatever activity was important in Asiyas HaMishkan is considered an Av Melacha. Whatever activity is not so important in Asiyas HaMishkan is not called a Melacha. So all the Melachas, all the Lamentas of Melachas are learned out from the Mishkan, including Hoytzoah. And the Chumash describes when they were traveling in the Midbar, it says how many Jews were traveling. So the Chumash doesn't tell you how many Jews were traveling, it just tells you they took a census of the Levium. There were 22,000 and change Levium, and then they took a census of the Levium over the age of 30 days old, and then they took a census of the rest of the Shvatim, the men between the age of 20 and 60. They didn't count the younger ones, they didn't count the older ones, they didn't count the women, they didn't count the Arabs. There was much more. So if you take everybody into consideration, probably a few million people traveling around. But the Chumash doesn't tell you the full number. Chumash only tells you the census of Bnei Yisrael between 20 and 60, and the census of all of the Levim. So these Rishonim claim that Dosh Teh Do in the Mishnah, that in order to constitute the Rishus Aram Deraisa, one of the conditions is, one of the criteria is, that you have to have Shishim Reba people. It doesn't mean Shishim Reba, it means plus change. There was six, how many, what was it, 605,000 more. And you have to add on the Levim. The Chumash, you have to have the census of the Bnei Yisrael, the census of Levim. That's the only numbers that appear in the Chumash. So in order to be considered a Rishus Rabim Deraisa, you have to have a minimum population of so many people. What does it mean? In order for any given street to be considered a Rishus Rabim Deraisa, you have to have so much traffic on that street? That's how it says in the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. You have to have Shishim Ribo marching in that street every day. The Mishnah Brura in the Sharat Siyam Mamish on the bottom of the page comes up with a more chumradika definition, that you don't need Shishim Reba, but people walking on this particular street. If in the whole neighborhood of the whole city, there are different neighborhoods in the city. There's a Borough Park and Flatbush and Crown Heights, I don't know, different neighborhoods. So if any one given neighborhood, you have Shishim Reba, people walking around in that neighborhood, so then all the streets in that part of the city will be labeled as a Rishus Rabim Deraisa. So that's quite a difference. Chaber writes, you have to have Shishim Reba, people walking on this street. And the Mishnah Brura wants to be Machmed, that's Rav Moshe Feinstein likes that Mishnah Brura, so usually he's Mekel, but this he thought of this on his own, and then he saw the Mishnah Brura said it, so he tickled his fancy. He thinks that makes more sense. You don't need Shishim Reba, but people walking on that street, Shishim Reba walking in the neighborhood.
How much is a neighborhood?
No, it's a Chumra. Be a Rishus Rabim, even though you don't have Shishim Reba, people walking on this street, but if there are Shishim Reba walking in the whole neighborhood, or All the streets have the status of Ishus Aram Deraisa. That's a chumrah. You, your Rabbeisha, that's a shadow. Rabbeisha smicha, he had a right to be machmer, he only had smicha to be machmer. Every so often he comes up with a wow, a big chumrah. This is a big chumrah.
How come the air works? And now they would maybe possibly 600,000 in that whole area.
So you got a problem? Okay. So you got a problem. What is the. Okay, let's learn the Mishnah, then we'll have to discuss the relevance for the area. So Rashi, the Mishnah has like this. Okay?
We have five boroughs. What does that mean? Manhattan, we have 600,000. That means here in Brooklyn or Queens,
there'll be. No, Ramosha thinks you have to judge each neighborhood separately. If that neighborhood has Shishim Riba people, that neighborhood will be a Rishus
Rabbi. What's a neighborhood?
Oh, that's a Shiloh. What's a neighborhood?
Is okay. Post office neighborhood?
Sir Ramosha.
No, the post office card.
Probably not. Post office probably irrelevant.
So who qualifies it?
Sir Ramosha says maybe he comes up with an Einfall, kept on working on this over the years. So he made a suggestion, maybe Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, because the Gemara says the Machne Yisrael in the Midbar was 12 mil by 12 mil. So he thinks maybe you have to take into consideration a whole area of 12 mil. It's not 12 miles, it's much less. Or 12 mil.
6 miles
by 6 miles. So maybe you take into consideration 6 miles square, you take into consideration the whole area if you have Shishim Riba people there. A lot of times you will have Shishim Riba people in 6 miles by 6 miles, by 36 square miles. This is one condition. There are more conditions that are needed in order to be considered a Rishus Aram Deraisa. So here the Mishnah has it in. You make an area in a neighborhood, so everyone's allowed to carry. So the title is that people are going to grow up, and they're going to think that there's no prohibition of carrying. A lot of people who live in Eretz Yisrael, they come to America, they never heard of the issue that you're not allowed to carry. That they're from all the way back. They were trained that you're allowed to carry. So the Mishnah says you have to leave out part of the city. When you make an Erev, you have to leave out part of the city that you should know you're only allowed to carry at Kan Velo Yosef, because you're only allowed to carry where there's an Erev, where there's no Erev, there is an issue of Hoitzah. That everyone should remember that there is such a din of Hoitzah. So the Mishnah says that the only time the entrance, this is a chumrah midrabbanan, you have to leave out part of the city. What size of the city do you have to leave out? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So the first Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, says you have to leave out 50 people. You have to leave out a minimum of 50 people. Why? Because there was a village in Eretz Yehuda. In the days of the Tanaim, Eretz was divided into three parts: it's Yehuda, Golil, and Eber Yarden. So Eretz Yehuda was the area around Yerushalayim, so there was a city in Eretz Yehuda that was called Ir Chadasha, Neustadt. They quote on the side.
Neustadt.
Yeah. They quote on the side that there's a pasuk in Yeshua chapter Tezvot that the name of the city was Chadasha. That was the name of the city. Like we in Europe, there were cities Neustadt, Anayestadt. So there was the smallest village that they knew in the days of the Tanaim, the smallest village had a population of 50 people. So the first Tana of Yudah says you have to leave out from your Erev, you have to leave out a minimum population of 50 people. That's the smallest size city. So you left out a whole, the city itself is divided into two cities. One city doesn't have an Erev and the other city does have an Erev. So everyone should know you can only carry here and not there. To be mechazik, everyone should remember there's a prohibition of Hoitzah. Reb Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yudah. It says it's not a function of how many population, 50 people should be left out. You have to leave out the shear al-pidin of a city. The shear of a city, on drawing on a map, is a minimum of gimel chatzeres v'shnei batim. You have to have three chatzeres, and each chatzer has a fence around it, and each chatzer has the minimum of shnei batim in the chatzer. And these chatzeres have to be either contiguous to each other, touching each other, they should be within 70 amas to each other. Where does this shear come from? Gimel Hatzer Shnei Batim. So that's what we mentioned several times. There's a Mishnah in Erechin that says the same thing. When you have Bati Arichayim, when you have Ayoris in Eretz Yisrael, whenever there's a din of an ear, so that's Talach. You have to have a minimum of Gimel Hatzeris with Shnei Batim. So Rab Shimon says you have to leave out a whole section that has the structure of a city. You don't need the 50 population, but it has to have a structure of a city. Okay, so that's how much you have to leave out. So the Mishnah says that this chumr midrabbanan, when you make an erev in the city, We insist that you have to leave out a certain section in order that the people shouldn't forget that there's an Isra'i Tzod. This is like a Gzeira de Rabbana. So you have no right to make a Gzeira de Gzeira. If the whole Isra'i Tzod that you're dealing with in the city is only a Carmelist de Rabbana to begin with, then you're not Mechuyev to make a Gzeira de Gzeira. You have to be Mechazikit. See, they're not really so worried. See, we today are worried if you allow all the people to carry in the whole city, so they'll go visit their friends in another city, and they're going to forget that there's an Israel Tzor, and they'll carry in the other city. The Tanoim apparently were not worried about that. The Tanoim are afraid of a different thing. If you won't leave out a section of the city, so the people, they'll lose the consciousness that there's an Israel Tzor in this city. So let's say one Shabbos, the Erev will be down, so they won't even understand that you're not allowed to carry here. So the Shabbos, how serious is the prohibition of carrying here in this city? So if the whole city to begin with is only a Karmelis, the whole Israelite Tzor in this city is only with the Rabbanah to begin with, then you don't have to make the Chumrah. You have no right to make a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah, that you have to leave out part of the city. So everybody, every Shabbos will know you can only carry out Kanvalo Yoser, and they'll be always aware of the fact that you need the Erev. So the Mishnah says, sometimes your city is only a Karmelis to begin with, and sometimes your city is a real Rishus HaRab and Deraisa. So how do you know? So the Mishnah says, did it start off as an Ir Shel Yochid, or did it start off as an Ir Shel Rabim? What says an Ir Shel? In order to be a Rishus HaRabim Derais, it has to be an Ir Shel Rabim. If it's an Ir Shel Yochid, then it's Menater, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's really only a Karmelist. What's the definition of an Ir Shel Yochid versus an Ir Shel Rabim? So this is where Rashi and Tosfos give their interpretation. Rabim, hey, Shishim Ribay. Every city, a city doesn't start off with a population of Shishim Ribay. First, in Eretz Yisrael. First you start off with 10 people, they put up little tents. Then you have another 100 people, then you have 1,000 people, then you have Shishim Ribo. So no city starts off with Shishim Ribo. What are you talking about? It starts off as an Ir Shel Rabim. No. Shal is, when did you make the Erev? Did you make the Erev before it had Shishim Ribo? Did you make the Erev after it already had Shishim Ribo? So if the city didn't yet have Shishim Ribo, so it's not, according to Rashi and Taisus, it doesn't qualify as a Rishu Ser Rabim Deraisa. So you made an Erev then. You made an Erev in the city.
Rashi is talking only about traffic, Nachnusen. Rashi doesn't say you have to live there.
Okay, traffic. Shishim Ribo traffic, correct. You don't have to live there. Okay. How much traffic do you have? Includes the people who live there, plus all the traffic that comes in from the outside?
A lot of time in the...
No.
Every 24 hours, every...
That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch, yeah. Traffic. In the course of a day, how much traffic do you have? Either traffic on that street or traffic on all the streets put together. Those are the two versions. Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, traffic on any given street. To determine any given street, as we should say, I'm the Rais in Ish Shishim Riba, people traffic on that street. And the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Moshe have the Chumrah, traffic in the whole city, all the streets put together. Okay. So that's how Rashi and Taisus and all the Chachmei Ashkenaz, that's how they read the Mishnah. If you started off with a little village in Ir Shel Yochid, Shel Yochid means you didn't have Shishim Riba. Every city starts off, you didn't have Shishim Riba. And you made an Erev before it had such a population. And then Benasseh Shel Rabim, the city grows and grows and grows, and now it does have Shishim Riba, but they already made the Erev before it had the Shishim Riba. So even though now I'm faced with an issue of Deraisa, we should make a Gzera Derabana now. So the Mishnah is going to explain, they'll have to learn some more Gemara, why we're not worried over here. You don't introduce the Gzera de Rabbanu there. But if they made Shel Rabim, the city, they're interested in making an Erev. So the city has Shishim Riba already. So you can't make an Erev when it has Shishim Riba. So then the population shrank, V'nasin Shel Yochid, now it's less than Shishim Riba. So now it's not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. So then it says you still have the Gzera Derabbanan. Just like if you have a city that has now Shishim Riba people, and you want to make an Erev, so you must leave out part of the city. You can't make an Erev on the whole city. So even if the city once had Shishim Riba, and now the population shrank, we're always chashish that the population may grow back again and may reach again Shishim Riba. So then we have this Gzera Derabbanan. You have to leave out half of the city. You have to leave out part of the city.
You understand? Shishim Riba, you can't make it.
We need a couple of conditions
so
to be considered. Right.
Okay. So you can't make it in a period.
Not exactly.
I mean, the Raisa, you can't overcome the Shish HaRabim, the Raisa with an Erev.
Not exactly. You can. If it, See, we had on Daf Chav Beis, the Gemara says, if you have Rishus Rab the Raisa, he put mechitzas around it, so it becomes a Rishus HaYochid.
We discussed like a highway. We can't make a highway because the Rishus Rab comes from there, right?
The Gemara said on Daf Chav Beis.
I'll leave it for 2 weeks.
What do you mean 2 weeks? No, the Gemara says on Daf Chav Beis that if you have mechitzas briyos, then you can, even though people, the problem is, if you have an Erev, it doesn't prevent the traffic from going through. If it would prevent the automobile, so the municipality wouldn't allow the Orthodox Jews to make an Erev. So obviously it doesn't affect the flow of the traffic. So that's the issue the Gemara raised on Daf Chav Beis. If you have a mechitza, that everybody walks through, Rabin Bokimbo, everybody, it doesn't prevent the flow of traffic, does that have the status of a mechitza or not? So Tosfos there says, if the whole issue of Haitzo is only the Rabbanon, then you don't worry about it bichlof. That's what Tosfos says on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. So that's what all the Eruvin in Europe are always based on that. That's what the Mordechai says, quotes the Maharam Rutenberg, Mordechai and the Rosh, we're all Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg. So that's what he said based on this Tosfos on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. If the whole issue of carrying is only the Rabbanon to begin with, then you don't have to worry bichlof about the whole topic. Just because the mechitza doesn't prevent the flow of traffic, it doesn't pose a problem. But even if you do have Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, you can still make an Erev. But it's a question, you have to have mechitzas brios. If you have mechitzas gruos, then you can't make an Erev. So we make everything easy. So we say, whenever it's an issue, the Rabbanon, whenever the whole Yisrael HaSel is only the Rabbanon, then there's no problem with Bechlal. You can always make an area. And 1, 2, 3. And we pass it up quickly why any given area is only a kamlus. So whenever you make an area, that's how you usually start. The whole Yisrael HaSel to begin with is only the Rabbanon. So therefore, there's no problems involved at all in making an area. Strictly speaking, you can make an area even if it's a Shasar Abner Reis also. They're a little more difficult. They're a little more problematic.
If you assume like the Mishnah Berurah, that you include the whole city as a counting the population, then all the cities have. New York has 6 million people.
Okay, so that's where Moshe Feinstein thinks that the streets of New York, he thinks that's the main criterion. If you have Shishim Reba, then it becomes a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. But there are other conditions also. Other postmen say there are other conditions.
But our Moshe was not there. We have it all over the neighborhoods.
Moshe was mocked to some and not others. Yeah.
I'm not talking about the one in Ocean Park. I'm talking here.
Yeah.
Two gardens.
I wasn't there. I don't know what Rav Moshe. I don't know what his plot was. But in the sefer, he says whenever you have Shisha Migra, so he thinks that that's who should surround there. I think he shouldn't make an
error. What's New York? Who says what? Like what part of New York is New York?
What's considered one neighborhood? That's right. What you're asking. You have to have Shisha Migra, people in the neighborhood. That's an important question. Moshe Epp is not so clear on that. Different sections of Manhattan, not so clear.
So when Moshe says the Alvin is killer, all it means that we can carry from one house to another, from one person to another.
No, Marvin is cool. You can make one big Erev on the whole city. You don't have to leave that part of the city.
But you have to make an Erev.
You have to have mechitzas to make the whole thing into Rishus HaYochid. Yeah. If you don't have mechitzas, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. Either it's a Rishus Rabim or a Carmelis. You can't carry in a Rishus Rabim, you're not allowed to carry Ben HaTorah. In a Carmelis, you're not allowed to carry Ben HaRabbanon. So you have to put in there. Yeah.
And when the Mishnah says, Ve'arven Eskilo, you can make one Erev for the whole
city. For the whole city, and there's no need to have a Shir. You don't have to leave anything out. But if it already has Shishim Rebo, and it still has Shishim Rebo, it once had Shishim Rebo, now no longer has. So since it once had Shishim Rebo, even though the population shrank and it may grow back again, so then we insist that when you make the Erev, you can make an Erev on Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. When you make the Erev, you have to leave out a section.
But a legitimate Rishus HaRabim needs a Shir. According to the Mishnah.
Yeah.
You say.
So the Mishnah says it's only Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. There are several conditions that are needed.
Right.
One condition is that Gemara Shabbos has to be 16 amos wide. If you have little gesalach and mayor sharim that are less than 16 amos wide, that's not a Rishus HaRabim.
What does it say about the shear?
The shear of population?
No, it says here you may have Shishim Riboy, and then it becomes smaller. and you wouldn't have a shear. That means
shiur, to leave out, to be mishayer.
Yeah.
When you make an Erev, can you make an Erev on the whole city, or do you have to leave out a shiur? You have to leave out part of the city that everybody should know. You can only carry because it's an Erev.
What is the concept of the shiur?
To leave something out, everyone should be always conscious,
to be aware
that we're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. You're only allowed to carry because there's an Erev, and the Erev doesn't include the whole city.
So get it up, Shulin.
To remind us.
He said,
therefore, many customers come from New Jersey to go shopping in New York.
Not because of the fact it's free for me, but because it'll bring in people.
Yeah, bring in guests from outside, yeah. So that's how Rashi and Taisus translate Shal Yochid and Shal Rabbi. Shal Yochid means, Shal Rabbi means Shishim Ribo, and Shal Yochid means less than Shishim Ribo. It's a funny way of saying Shal Yochid. Shal Yochid means less than Shishim Ribo. That's how Rashi and Taisus learn. That the Mishnah is telling us there are several conditions that are necessary in order to declare an area as a Shusarab Neraisa. The Rashi and Taisus Shal Rabbim is one of them. You have to have such a big population of Shishim Ribo. The Ramban on this Mishnah is a famous Ramban. Ramban disagrees. And he holds like the all the Chachmi Svara, maybe Rov HaRishonim. 50-50, at least half of the Rishonim, if not Rov HaRishonim, do not agree with Rashi and Taisus. This Shishim Ribo never says anywhere in Shas. That's how Rashi and Taisus interpret. So the Ramban says he doesn't think that's what the word Shal Rabbi means. He quotes the Gemara early on Daf Chav Beis, where the Gemara says when Yeshua ben Nun was dividing Eretz Yisrael, so the highways that he was Moisel Rabbim, that's what the Gemara says on the bottom of Chav Beis. On the top of Chav Beis, on the base. The highways that he was Moisel Rabbim, the highways that belong to the municipality or to the federal government, those are Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. But let's say a private person buys a whole area and he builds a whole city and he has millions of people living there in his city, but everything is privately owned. He rents out apartments to everybody. So if it's privately owned, then the Gemara says on Daf Chav Beis, that's not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. Okay. It can't be. If it's privately owned, it's not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. It's in the middle of Manhattan, you have Rockefeller Square. That belongs to the Rockefeller Foundation. It doesn't belong to the municipality. So that area can't be Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. Maybe the rest of Manhattan maybe is Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. But that area for sure is not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa because it's privately owned. It's not owned by the municipality. In order to be a Rishus HaYochid, it doesn't have to be private property. Let's say City Hall is a Rishus HaYochid. The White House is a Rishus HaYochid, even though it belongs to the federal government. To be a Rishus HaYochid, it doesn't have to be privately owned. But to be a Rishus HaRabim, it has to be owned by the municipality, or by the state, or by the federal government. So the Ramban says that's what it means. Shal Yochid means if it originally was not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa because it was owned by a private person. Mm-hmm. And Shal Rabim means it was owned by the municipality. So the Ramban is... To be a Rishus HaYochid, you need Mechitzus, yeah.
So if the Rockefeller Center or whatever, it doesn't have to... Place over here that says owned by the bank or whatever.
It's not going to be a Rishus Ram, but it won't be a Rishus Yachid either. It'll be a Carmelist. No man's land, neither here nor there. A Mokum Tur on the level of the Raisa. Whatever is neither Rishus Yachid nor Rishus Rabim is a Mokum Tur. So some of the Mokumis Tur, they declared Midirabonin as Carmelist and has Chumris, and others they left there. We leave it as a Mokum Tur and has a lot of coolness to it.
The Mishnah reads better than the Ramban. The
simple reading sounds better like the Ramban. Yeah. So the Ramban quotes Rashi and Taisus. He's not happy with the whole shot. He thinks that it doesn't show Yochid Sharabim doesn't mean what the population. You don't need, where do you get this idea Shishim Ribo population? He thinks that it depends on ownership. But he adds on a line. He thinks even if you'll already subscribe to Rashi and Taisus, that in order to be considered a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, you have to have Shishim Ribo people. He thinks that's only in a city, but on a highway. That's the Ramban has over here. If it's a highway, Drachma Hochem year to year, he thinks that has the status of Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, even if you don't have Shishim Ribo people. What's the Biur? So the Pashtus is, the definition of Rishus HaRabim is a highway. So if you have a big city, and you have Shishim Ribo people driving in the city, let's say there are a lot of trucks go through New York, all the big cities. There are trucks going from New Jersey to Connecticut, and they go through Manhattan. So Manhattan is a highway. If you have Shishim Reba, such a big population, then the street and the city, that's a highway. If you don't have Shishim Reba, so it's a street and a city. Street and city is not a Shusara. But if something is a highway, mamish. It's not that it's in the middle of the city. It's a highway that goes from one city to the other. So by definition, the highway is a Shusara.
To whom does it belong?
No, it has to be owned by the municipality or the state or the federal government. If it's privately owned, that's a gemar. What the Ramban said, all the Rishonim agreed to. Ramban said that it has to be Shal Rabim in order to be Rishus Rabim. That's a gemar earlier, in Daf Chav Beis. So Ramban says, the gemar got it from this Mishnah. Ir Shal Yochid versus Ir Shal Rabim. And Rashi and Taisi says no. Taisi say no. That gemar is one gemar. In order to be Rishus Rabim, it requires a condition that should belong to their government. And this Mishnah is another condition, another criterion, that it has to have a population of Shishim Reba. Then there are more conditions. It has to be 16 Amos wide, and it has to be Mefulish. The Gemara is going to say on the next Amud Beis, it has to be Mefulish. Let's say if you have, you enter into the city and you can't get out. There's no exit on the other end. Everything is dead ends over there. So the Gemara seems to say, Alpi Pashtik Zafnara Shusaram Derais. It has to be Mefulish. You have to have traffic that goes through and through. If it's not Mefulish, not. Then the Gemara has another condition in Masechah Shabbat. It has to be Eina Mekura. If you have a roof, if you have a roof over, let's say some of the shops have an awning in front, or some of them have a roof on top in the front. So under the an area that has a roof on it, under that area is not called the Rishus HaRam Derais. That's going to be a Carmelist Menatar. You have a whole bunch of conditions that are necessary.
Drive, so, history of a drive, that's like a building on top of the highway.
Oh yeah? So whatever part of the highway has a building on top of it, that's not a Rishus HaRam Derais. Then the Sfasemis points out on that Gemara Shabbos, let's say this season of the year, after Thanksgiving until after January 1st, a lot of neighborhoods, they put up extra, they put on
no, you're secular.
Yeah, so they put up from one side of the street to the other, they put up things that go to attract their customers. So even though it's only there temporarily, it's not there all year long, it's just there for 2 or 3 months, Kolzman that you have Makura, a Tikra, even though it's only a temporary Tikra, a Tikra has to be a minimum of Dalat Tzvachim. Dalat Tzvachim, my Dalat Tzvachim. So Kolzman, you have the Tikra, the area below it will not be Rishus HaRam Derais. The area to the right and to the left probably will be Rishus HaRam Derais, but the area under it won't be Rishus HaRam Derais. Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush in his sefer that I don't think has been accepted. He has a big kula, has a lot of kulas, has a lot of kulas, a lot of chumras. So he writes about this gemara on Nun Tes and Veis. And Gemara says it's only considered the Rishus HaRam Derais if it's mefulish. So the pasuk pshat is the traffic has to go through and through. If it's a dead end, so it can't be Rishus HaRam Derais. So Rav Moshe says not so. He says all the dead ends in Flatbush around Brooklyn College, all those dead ends he thinks are Rishus HaRam Derais. Ha'itzvachan ofen ha'gemara has to be mefulish. So he says he doesn't think that that's in Shulchan Aruch, that's what it says. He says he doesn't agree with what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He has a different interpretation in mefulish. What does it mean mefulish? He says every inch of the way has to be Rishus HaRam Derais. So he says if you have a street and there's a and there's an awning that goes, there's something that goes across the street, like this season of the year, on, where is it? On St. Nicholas, near the yeshiva. So they have banners that go across from one side of the street to the other until after January 1st. So not only under the banner will not be Rishus HaRam Derais, even before and after it won't be Rishus HaRam Derais, because it's not Mefulish. Mefulish means every inch of the way has to be Rishus HaRam Derais. Then he writes, he also writes a chiddush. The street has to be 16 amas wide. So let's say the street, much of the street is 16 amas wide. Then at one point it becomes narrow, then it becomes wider again. So Taisus has a discussion here. We learned this Taisus a while ago. The Taisus has on Vav on the base, Taisus has a diagram. You have a wide street, then it gets narrow less than Tezayin amas, then it gets wide again. So Taisus is not sure, since the rove of the overwhelming majority, more than 50% of the length of the street, is Tezayin Amah wide. And there's a little section that's narrow, so maybe even the section that's narrow is also Rishus HaRam Derais, because the rove of the street is Tezayin Amah. So Moshe Feinstein, Dreit Fakert, he says, that part of the street that's narrower than 16 Amos wide, that's not a Rishus HaRam Derais. So he wants to say that even the part of the street that is 16 Amos wide is not called Mefulish, because Mefulish means every inch of the way has to have all the conditions, has to have all the criteria to be considered a Rishus HaRam Derais. Let's say, according to Rav Moshe, if you'll have, let's say, Rockefeller Square, is not a Rishus HaRam Derais. It's even the area before and after it also won't be a Rishus HaRam Derais. It's only Rishus HaRam Derais. It's the whole street from the beginning of the city to the end. Has all the criteria.
I understand. Why can't you say that where it's not in foolish, it's the end of the highway? So the highway only goes to where it's narrow. So from a male it should be grass, even according to the Moshe.
No, but the narrow part.
The highway is from here to here, and here is the foolish, a couple of inches, right? So we can say the highway is from here to here.
No, but the the narrow part is less than 16 amas wide.
Right.
The next thing,
so
the
end. So the highway is only till there.
No, but it's in the middle of the city. No, you have houses, the whole city keeps on going. So he says you have to take each street. So if it doesn't have the criteria, doesn't have the conditions of Rishus HaRam Derais from the beginning to the end, so it's no part of the street will be Rishus HaRam Derais. That's just the opposite from what Tosfos is right. He takes on the Tosfos. He's prepared to take on the Tosfos.
They negated it in the end, that the Tessayanama does not have to be a part of it.
That's one of the conditions. In order to be a Rishus HaRam Derais, it has to be why Tessayanama.
Yeah.
So Tess is just not sure. What if the Raiv, you have a city, and the more than 50% of the length of the street is Tessayanama wide? And the small part of
it. Raised to the Tessayanama, Zikvankov. Okay, sorry.
This I don't remember.
Okay. I don't remember. Right through all the way, like Broadway.
Broadway doesn't go all the way. It stops in the middle. Right, the Shulchan Aruch sounds like it says like that. It should be Mufulish, Mishar, Lishar, Belishum, Mikum, Klal. That the street should go straight. So that's what some of the later Poskim wrote, that the larger the city, the bigger the city is, so the less chance you have that any street is going to go straight through. And the little villages in the mountains, when you drive through the Catskill Mountains, so you have Main Street, it goes through, it goes straight. But as in New York, as they kept on making the city bigger and bigger, so they put a building here, building there, building there, and now none of the streets go straight. All of the streets twist and turn. So even the widest street is going to twist and turn. You stand on Broadway, where I live, you stand on Broadway, 184th Street, you look towards 181st Street, you see buildings. You don't see Broadway wide, because the whole Broadway twists. All the streets twist in New York, because it's such a big city, it's impossible. That's what the recent post can write, that the larger the city, so the less likely you are of having a Rishus HaRam Derais, because none of the streets are going to be mefulish, they're not going to go straight. And others disagree, they say no. When the Gemara said mefulish, it doesn't mean it has to be straight, it means it shouldn't be a dead end. And Rav Moshe doesn't like that either. He thinks even a dead end is a Rishus HaRam Derais. He gives his pshat in the foolish that every inch of the way should have the status of Rishus HaRam Derais. That's he says himself. That's his original interpretation. It's against the whole Shulchan Aruch. This is many. It's against taste, against the Shulchan Aruch. Beren Avenue, according to all the classical poskim, is the Rishus HaYochid Benatar, because you have walls all over. Yeah, you have walls all over on all the four sides. Rav Moshe doesn't agree. He says that the walls of the buildings only make the inside of the buildings into Rishus HaYochid. He said it doesn't accomplish to make the street into Rishus HaYochid. Why not?
But Mechitza is like this. The Mechitza is considered only a Mechitza if it serves the inside, not the outside.
That's what Moshe writes. So they ask why, but the Gemara says Mechitza and Meris Me'leha is also good. Mechitza stands by itself. It doesn't matter what the kavana of the builders were. When they built the apartment building, so they had in mind that these walls are going to be makif the inside of the building. So Zalos Blagna Mechitza and Meris Me'leha. So that's the Poskim who wrote Shuvas before Moshe was born. They all wrote like that. That the buildings in a big city make the street into Rishus HaYochid Derais. Moshe has very original opinions. I don't know. Now, people are not familiar with Erevin. They think everything that Moshe said is the accepted opinion. It was never the accepted opinion. He has original chidushim in Hilchus Erevin, Bein Lahakal, Bein Lahachmer. Most of his shuvas are standard, based on Shulchan Aruch. He gives you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Erevin, he writes himself that he can't work with the din of mefulish. He can't work with this din, that din. He says, what can I do? I have my own interpretation in all the Gemaras. But this is all original things.
Something had his father, and it was against everything because his father.
Don't know.
The suki is lazari. The suki the mechusim is must be from the inside, not from the outside. But suki.
There is a Gemara in Sukkah about Pitikra Yard Visoysim.
Yes.
That's a Gemara. That right. Pitikra Yard Visoysim.
If it is a Teifa.
If you have, let's say, you have two walls like this on the ground, and then you have a Tikra on top,
right.
So you say Pitikra Yard Visoysim for the third and the fourth wall. So you only say Pitikra Yard Visoysim, it's considered a Mechitza vis a vis the area below the Tikra. But you don't say that if you have a Tikra, it's considered Mechitza for the outside. Right. That's not. Let's say you have you have an Erev. You have an Erev that goes U-shaped, and then you have an elevated platform on top. So you can't say the elevated is a Tikra, it's Dalar al-Dalar Tochim. You say, Pitikra, you always say, same, this side, the edge of the elevated, will serve as a Mechitza to make the fourth Mechitza, to make this the Rishu Sayyata. No, you can't say Pitikra. You only say Pitikra Avisosin for the, it's a Mechitza for the area below the Tikra, not for the area adjacent to it. So what you have to do is, when you have an Erev that has three walls and you have an elevated, the Erev with the three walls has to go to the far end, to the other side of the elevated. And then you say Pitikra Avisosin for the area below it, and that serves as your fourth Mechitza. And then the Mele, once it's a Mechitza for below it, so it's a Mechitza for the rest of the area. But you can't use the near side of the elevator, you have to use the far side of the elevator. That's a Gemara. You only say Pitikra Yer V'Soysein as a Mechitza for the area below the Tikra. It doesn't help, doesn't make a Mechitza for the area adjacent to it on the outside of the Tikra.
The Shin River has only Yehudim?
Some of the Achreinim made such a suggestion that you have to have Yehudim male between the age of 20 and 60, because that's where you're learning it out from the Pasuk. And most of the Poskim don't accept that. They say, no, that was the census in the Midbar, happened to be Yehudim male between the age of 20 and 60. But when it gets to establishing the Shir and Shusayachid, Shusarab and Deraisa, it just means you need that number population. That you do include Goyim and children and women, everyone's included. That's the generally accepted opinion.
But the Erev Rav were excluded.
Yeah. The Chumash doesn't say the numbers of the Erev, doesn't say what the numbers of the women and the children were. So we ignore those numbers because they're not mentioned in Chumash. We only use those numbers that do say in Chumash. So the Shishim Riba is they rounded it out. It's really more than Shishim Riba would change. You have to include the Levim also. The Chumash has a census of the Levim, 22,000 and change. And the Yisraelim is 605,000 or something would change.
We have
You don't have 16 Amis?
No, in other words, you don't have
16 Amis, very little. I think you add up how much room is there for people to walk and for the traffic to go. You count the sidewalk also. You don't only count the place where the cars go. The days of the Tanoim, they didn't have cars. The people walk there. They count the sidewalk on both sides and the part that's the island that have something planted, no one can walk there. So that doesn't count. But if Bein HaKol, if Sach HaKol, you have 16 on, so you add everything up. Yeah, I think so.
It's not a considered happening.
I don't think so.
For any of the postings before a process, so if you have walls like buildings on both sides of the street, does it matter how long the street is? Let's say it's a few miles. And then you have walls at the edges of the street, on the other two sides of the street. That's still, would it still be just a Rishusayah?
If you have two walls, the street lined with buildings on both sides, then on the other side, yeah, that's what we have on Bennett Avenue. Yeah.
Right, but the street is very long, let's say. Doesn't matter. Could be a mile, 2 miles,
whatever. Ramosha thinks that is the Rishus Harab. I don't know why. All the poskim before Rav Moshe all assumed that that becomes a Rishus HaYochid. Why should it be a Rishus HaRam? I don't know.
So you wouldn't say that since the seed is long, then it's as if it's mufolah. It's as if it doesn't have anything on the two sides of the
end. Well, usually most of the poskim assume mufolah means can the traffic go through and through. So if the traffic can go through and through, then it is mufolah. But if you have mechitzas around on all the four sides, then it's a Rishus HaYochid. So it doesn't matter that it's mefulish. If you have Rishus HaRam, you put mechitza, it becomes a Rishus HaYochid. We have to work some more. This is an important din. Okay, we'll have to do it again next week. In this week's Seder, Yankov Avinu already had all of his children were born already. Dina was born. Everybody was born. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a bracha. Goyah kal goyim yim imeko. Going to have more. Going to have more children. What does it mean? Goya kal goyim yim imeko. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara. The Gemara understands this refers to each one of the shvatim. Shevet echad ikri kohol. Each shevet is called a kohol. He's going to have more shvatim. He didn't have any more children. So he was. This was a reference to the fact that Yosef, Shevet Yosef, is going to be split between Menashe and Ephraim. It's going to turn out to be two shvatim. So this is apparently the way the Rabban Shalom wants, that there should be Yud Beis Shvatim for the Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says in Shabbos and other places an expression that the Jewish nation is Amatul Yisrael. We're a three-part nation. We have Kanim, Levim, Israel. That is correct. We have Kanim, Levim, and everybody else is Israelim. The Kanim have separate dinim, the Levim have separate dinim, and all the other Israelim have the same din. But there's another din at the same time that is supposed to be Yud Beis Shvatim. And if you don't have the Yud Beis Shvatim, so the Klal Yisrael is incomplete. Let's say this man is there. Nobody knows what Shevet they belong to. The Kohanim and Levim know they're from Shevet Levi. Rabbi Chalap knows that he's from Shevet Yehuda. They claim to be from Malchus Beis David. Okay. Okay, fine. So Zayin Azay. But everybody else, that B'nai Yisrael was told that he's from Shevet Yisrael. Okay, his Rebbe told him he's from Shevet Yisrael, so he knows. No one else knows who's from what Shevet. So we have a din in the Gemara that we assume that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only the Rabbanim. That's why they still use the Het Mechir in Eretz Yisrael. Why Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only the Rabbanim? So we assume because it's only Shemitah Derais if it can lead up to Yovel. And it can't lead up to Yovel because the Pasuk says, Ukrosham Dor Boris Lachoy Yashar Bizman Shikol Yashveh Oleo. So what does it mean, Kol Yashveh Oleo? So they usually write in the Anglo-Jewish newspapers, you have to have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. So since the majority of the world Jewish population lives in Chutz La'aretz, so that's why Shemitah is the Rabban. So they keep on writing, within the next 2-3 years, more than 50% of the Jews will be living in Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be questionable whether the Hesed Mechira is going to work. So the truth of the matter, you look in the Gemara, the end of Erechin, what the Gemara talks about is Din. The Gemara seems to say explicitly, Marko Tzabraisa, Kemat explicitly. I don't know how you can interpret otherwise. Gemara says it's only called Kol Yashveh Aleha when each Shevet is Makir Es Mekomo. Shevet Yehuda is living together, Shevet Yisach is living together. We don't even know who belongs to what Shevet. So that even if you have all the world Jewish population will be living in Eretz Yisrael, the Pashtun says we're still not going to have Shemitah Deraisa because that's not called Kol Yashveh Aleha. The Klal Yisrael was Avegishtelt, it has to be an Amatul Yisrael, a three-part nation. Kohanim have different mitzvahs, and Levim have different mitzvahs, and the Israelim all have the same Taryag mitzvahs at Torah. But among the Israelim, you have to have Yud Beis Shvatim, separate Shvatim. And if you don't have the Yud Beis Shvatim, the Klal Yisrael is incomplete, and the Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is incomplete.
A Sukkos Gvul. You won't have any Sukkos Gvul. Because Hasukas Gvul, you have to know exactly what.
Okay, so what? Hasukas Gvul is when you do a Halukah in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Okay, but before you get to that, you have to know who belongs to what Shevet. Kozman, we don't know who belongs to what Shevet, so it's considered Klal Yisrael is incomplete, and Eretz Yisrael is incomplete. Eretz Yisrael is only complete when you have Klal Yisrael with the Yud Beis Shvatim are living in Eretz Yisrael. Kozman, we don't have that, so it's incomplete. That's included in the Nebuah that was told to Yankov Avinu, Goyi Kal Goyim Imimeko, that Klal Yisrael has to consist of the various Shvatim.